This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two of the program to get you set for the weekend. Rusty wants to know, Houston, do we know what the drop rate is with Hooker?
Yes.
Milton's thrown 35 passes. There's been five drops, according to
four in the first game.
How that was
maybe five in the first game. I can't remember.
50% incompletion rate. I mean, that's according to Battered Ball, who just said, hey, if he's got 14% drops and 50% is incompletion rate, it's pretty alarming.
Mm.
I don't get the narrative. He should start because he's faster and bigger, or has a bigger arm. Faster and has a bigger arm. Doesn't matter if you're not completing passes or moving the ball. Yeah, I think that's still we haven't seen it yet, but those, you know, having a bigger arm should give you an advantage, but obviously you got to hit your throws.
Entering week four, Jalen Hyatt has 38 yards of dropped yardage. I'm thinking that penalty did not count, or the big play against Pitt.
No, it wouldn't have counted if it's
right.
Only at 38.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he counts that as it was a drop, but the play didn't count, so he does not count that. So 38 mm-hmm. yards, that's tied for eighth in the SEC.
Wait, was there a hold on that?
Yeah, that's okay. Why it got called back. Sorry, like I said, he posted a bunch of stats, so I got to scroll back down to find the old passer chart.
No, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be Hooker and that, you know, Milton's just still not good to go. I mean, we don't have any information. Like, we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, Milton was, you know, walking around fine last Saturday. I just don't. We don't even know what the injury
was. Was me trying to be a positive all. Was Hooker the quarterback for Virginia Tech when they went toe-to-toe with Ohio State?
Don't remember.
I don't know. You might want to look that up. The SEC's most accurate dropback passers outside the numbers. Milton and Hooker tied for third in the SEC with Matt Corral at 50%. Boy, he posted every stat they have, I think. He literally posted every stat yesterday. This is ridiculous.
I still think it's a weird sample size. It's weird. It's very strange to me that the offense goes faster with Milton, like you said. I mean,
he doesn't think as much
before the snap. Maybe he just gets them lined up, calls for the ball, and goes. And Hooker's like trying to process more and trying to make more decisions and trying to be more kind of prepared for the play. And maybe that's why he seems to know when and where to go with the football a little bit quicker.
Well, it also goes back to the stats or the sample size. But I feel just at first glance, part of that is it's not like Milton's faster in first and second downs, but it's not like there's a huge gap there. But where I recall at least watching the Pittsburgh game, Hooker almost always got a check on third down. And
they've been in that tempo where whatever their call for it is, where they're like, hey, you know, green light first and second down, you know, red light third down.
And so I'm thinking that
for most of the season.
Yeah, but for that red light, it's one of those things to where it really does affect the average, seeing as we don't have a lot to go off of.
True. I don't know. I mean, if Milton hasn't been taking reps, like, from what we've been able to see, which still isn't that much, but if Milton hasn't been practicing, I don't know how you just decide to play him over Hooker based on what we've seen.
And with Hooker, I mean, he's the only one who's played in meaningful minutes.
True. Nothing.
I mean, no, there's a ton. I can't find the drop. I got a bunch of stats I'm going to give here in a second. I was just trying to find for Rusty the drop percentage. I want to say it was around like 8%.
Batterball says it was around 6%.
6%?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good because I can't find it. Again, okay. He posted just
6%.
Just about
14%, 6%. That's the difference. Hooker has 392 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, and he has 47 attempts this season?
Yeah, 47 to 35, I believe.
Davey, looking like that game against Ohio State was before he took over at Virginia Tech.
Sad. I was trying to get some optimism in here.
Mm-hmm.
3 drops, if I'm doing the reverse rounding thing.
3 out of 47 attempts?
Yeah.
So
that'd be
about 6%, a little over 6%.
Is that how he's calculating drop percentage? Is on out of all attempts?
I would think so.
Okay. It's not.
It can't be completions.
No, it'd have to be incompletions. Is it out of incompletions? Like out of, if I'm a quarterback and I have 100 incompletions for the season.
How many incompletions does he have?
He has 14.
14 incompletions, 3 of them drops, that'd be higher.
I had to calculate the 3 off of total.
I think it would be total. I think. But that's a good question. I'm not sure how he does that. Okay. SEC's leader in overall accuracy percentage. So this is not necessarily completions. This is, did you throw an accurate pass? This would go into drops. Hooker is 7th in the SEC at 63.8% of his passes being accurate. First would be Will Rogers at 71.6.
Makes sense. That's the one thing you have to have in that offense. Mm.
So 71.6 for Rogers, Corral 69.8, Daniel 67.2, Bryce Young 67, Bazelak 64, Max Johnson 63.9, and Hooker 63.8. That's your top 7. As far as accuracy, between the hashes, Hooker comes in 5th in the SEC, but it's only 46.2%, first being Will Rogers at 82.4%. So a pretty big drop-off from Rogers at 1 to Hooker at 5. But the big gap there is Matt Corral at 4th, one spot ahead of Hooker, 69.8% completion or accuracy between the hashes, and then it's a 23-point drop to Hooker. So
it must be out of all attempts for the drop percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I just ran some numbers there.
SEC passers with the highest percentage of their yards coming under pressure. Number 1, Matt Calzada. Or is it Zach Calzada? It's Calzada for A&M. A&M's offensive line's not good. 30.5% of his yards passing have come under pressure. Emory Jones, 22%. Bryce Young, 20.1%. Hendon Hooker, 17.2%. I don't know if that's necessarily a good stat or a bad stat. I mean, it's good that you're getting yardage while under pressure. It's also bad if you're under pressure a bunch. Like,
a lot of it just has to do with sample size and who they played, because obviously for Emory Jones, they went up against Alabama last
Bryce
week.
Bryce Young went up against Florida.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess it's
Calzada,
good.
Calzada, they're loading the box. Like, Colorado
probably
loaded. And
probably went. Run blitzing, so he's under pressure just about every time. The highest pressure rate. So when he drops, when quarterbacks drop back, this is the quarterbacks in the league who are under the most pressure.
Okay.
Luke Doty. 34.6% of the time he drops back.
Well,
that's
Georgia.
That's one game.
Against Georgia.
Yeah. But he's only played Georgia.
Yeah.
So once
he didn't even start the game.
I thought he did.
He didn't.
They started Nolan?
Yeah, he got hurt. He like broke his thumb or something.
I didn't know that. I thought Doty was going to start. Okay. Calzada, 31.9% of the time. Bryce Young, 31%. What do you think about that?
That might be why you thought Doty wasn't running around. Like, no, you know, it's a foot injury, and he still wasn't ready to start. They're like, he's going to play
I saw that he was going to start, but if he didn't, I trust you.
No, I mean, he didn't. I watched him. Okay. Watch the game.
Hooker is pressured on 25.5% of his passes.
Okay.
So that's fifth highest in the SEC. I guess that's all not too surprising. Best first down to touchdown rate without play action. Hooker's ninth in the SEC at 33.3%. The average is 35.9%. JT Daniels, 46.2% to lead the conference. Most successful passers on attempts with more than with 2 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. So the ball touches the quarterback's hands, and if he gets rid of it in 2 seconds or left, 2 seconds or less, Hooker is the second best quarterback in the SEC. He completes 60% of his passes on the quick stuff. Best
Joe
being,
released a pass in less than 2 seconds?
I'm sure he has. It's a minimum of 10 attempts, though, so he might not be on that one.
Just the quick screens.
Yeah, the
quick. He's on some slants.
Right, but not 10.
Right.
So he's I don't know his percentage. He didn't make the list here. Most successful dropback passers outside the numbers. Hooker completes 40%. That's ninth best in the SEC. Average in the SEC is 44.4%, so not great there. SEC leaders in yards per carry when behind the chains. Hooker 6.
That's a lot of stats.
This has 7.29 yards per carry when he's behind the chains. Number one being, is it a Kane? This isn't just quarterbacks either. It's a Kane running back, Beatty running back, Rodriguez running back, Bigsby running back, Corral, ironically, 7.43, and then Hooker at 7.29. So when it comes to running quarterbacks, Hooker in the SEC, not that bad. Most accurate passers in the SEC when pressured. Ready for this one?
Yep.
I think this was going into last week. Hooker was 42.9%. That was fifth best in the SEC. I guess this is yardage off play action.
Okay.
Hooker's eighth in the league, 236 yards. Corral, 632 in first place. Quickest average throw time on true dropback passes. Hooker, third in the league, 2.34. I don't know if that's a good thing. Is that because he doesn't have time or because he's making a quick decision? This is kind of interesting. SEC passers that get the most play action calls. Hooker's fifth. 27.9% of his pass attempts come off play action. Leader in the SEC,
Bryce
Joe Young. Milton.
What?
51.4% of Joe Milton's pass plays are off play action. That's 12 percentage points better than two, which is Levis at Kentucky. This is also interesting. You might like this before we go to break. SEC passers with the highest percentage of yardage off of RPOs. Number one, Hendon Hooker. 52.2%. Second place is Jefferson at Arkansas, 33.8%.
Okay. Can't be here.
Still, we're running a lot. We're having more success on our RPOs. Hooker has the fourth lowest interceptable pass rate in the league, so that's not too bad. And then I think I saw this. It was SEC teams with that run the most RPOs. Tennessee was the leader in the league. We were running more RPOs than anybody else in the conference.
Wouldn't that make sense if the philosophy is like Heupel's not exactly calling any designated runs? Was that who the conversation was about?
No, it was about the fourth down. It was about making a decision to hand.
It can be a it can be a run play. It's just he doesn't say you have to hand it off to on this play for sure, or you have to keep it. It's a read for the quarterback, but that's not an RPO necessarily, unless they have a pass option out of it.
That could also be true, but that wasn't the conversation we were having.
Okay, so, I was just trying to think.
Yeah, I mean, if it may be true that he gives his quarterbacks a lot of flexibility in the run game and the RPO game as well.
Yeah, because I just remember Jeremy Pruitt put more on their quarterbacks
than anybody else.
What a loser. We'll come back with more.
This is true.
Hour two continues.
Only 7 days left, Dave.
I know.
Knows. Yeah, including today.
I can't believe it. It just got cold. It's almost October. I mean, not cold, just like not hot. Felt so good last night. Had a kid's ball game. Went t-shirt. Well, short sleeve polo and poofy jacket. It was perfect. Puff jacket.
Wait, what? You t-shirt, polo, what?
No, no, no. Forget the t-shirt.
Okay, you said
just,
t-shirt.
I know, it was just a short sleeve polo. That's what I had on during the day. Mm-hmm. And then I just went straight to the, you know, to the insulated jacket.
I saw a funny tweet. Just, you can't forget, though. Tennessee has 12 seasons. Winter. Fool's spring. Second winter. Spring of deception. Third winter. The great pollening. Actual spring. Summer. Hell's front porch. False fall. You are here.
Yeah, you're here now.
Second summer. Actual fall. It's supposed to be back up in the 80s next week. But we did get this nice second day of fall cold front.
80s in October? Not quite October.
You'll probably have an 80. I think we're done with nights in the 70s.
A couple years ago, I was out on the lake in October, and it felt great.
Last week was a really late, or last week, last year was a late arriving fall. Everything was behind. Let's see here. Yeah, the high Monday, Nate, is 80.
What's the weather like in Gainesville tomorrow about 7 o'clock?
Probably actually feel pretty nice.
Probably perfect, right? Probably like a nice.
Man, sorry.
I looked it up the other day, like, and I'm pretty sure there were some clouds in the sky.
Clouds? What's the cloud
any
percentage?
Any cirrus clouds? Any
probably
million,
not. I wouldn't say any cirrus clouds.
Any million-pound clouds?
I'd say that's a. That's
maybe
a,
some 25-pound clouds.
That's an affirmative. All right, you ready for this? 7 o'clock tomorrow in Gainesville. 0% chance of rain. 79 degrees. Partly sunny. Humidity, 60%.
If it's partly sunny, that insinuates that it's also partly cloudy, too.
It'll be about 50-50. Or yeah, it says 46% cloud cover. Okay. By the time the second half rolls around, it'll be 74 degrees. Winds up to 5-6 miles an hour. Nothing bad. Humidity will be rising, though, as the sun goes down. 68% at the start of the second half. And by the time the game ends, 72 degrees, 78% humidity. Winds up to 7 miles an hour. Cloud cover 11%. So a clearing Gainesville sky tomorrow as the Big Orange will take the field in big orange pants that you don't like.
I just prefer the Stormtroopers.
Preseason hockey starts this weekend.
Hang on, we're talking about pants.
Yeah, what the hell? Who cares?
You like the orange
talking
pants?
About the schedule.
You like the move?
What's? No one's talking about hockey. What are you doing?
Hey, you're talking about. I wasn't going to turn this into hockey. I was just saying, like, time
about
of year.
The seasons.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, you know, Kiffin wore the orange pants down there in 2009, and we were 30-point dogs. We only lost by 13.
That's a good point.
Scored a touchdown late and almost got an onside kick. Could have made things interesting. Did Butch ever wear orange pants in Florida? Is Kiffin in 09 the... No, I think Dooley did it at least once. Don't quote me on that, but I thought Dooley popped out the orange pants at Florida one time. You said you're a big Stormtrooper guy. Mm-hmm. I also like the Stormtroopers. It's going to look very Stormtroopery now with the white cleats with the black swoosh.
There you go.
I'm good with the orange pants here and there. I'm okay with that. I think it's
okay.
I wouldn't do it every game, but I think occasionally busting out the orange pants on the road's a good move.
All right.
It pops. It does look a little different, just because growing up, Fulmer hated the orange pants on the road. But I'm a fan. What do you think, Hickman? You like the orange pants on the road occasionally?
I do.
Okay.
Especially with the Stormtrooper top.
Just the white top?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the Stormtrooper, you got to have the white pants. It's got to be an all-white
that's
thing.
Why I just said Stormtrooper top.
I know, but that's not a
work.
Thing.
Yeah. It's yeah. The
just a white top.
Just, no.
Yeah, sorry. It's okay. What about you, Dave? You like the orange paint?
I'm indifferent.
At least when you turn the game on, you'll know that's Tennessee playing. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
So we got good weather, good unis.
We're going to play well.
Seem to be decent health. Yeah, sure. Chad brings it up. That's the game I was thinking of when I think that's the only time I ever punched a wall during a football game. They asked that question on the drive. What's the maddest moment during a Tennessee football game for you? It was for me when Hunter tore his ACL in the Swamp. I said it out loud, and I knew it at the time. I said, our season's over. Because you still had Dayrick, and he put up, you know, a 1,000-yard season. He had a great year. But having both of those guys, that's kind of what made that offense work. So, you know, Hunter goes down with the ACL. He was never the same after that. Then the next year you're thinking, okay, we're going to have – Hunter, Dayrick, and Cordero. Then Dayrick gets kicked off the team. Like, was that a week before the first game? I was in Colorado for a wedding. Woke up, checked my phone, and I just go, oh, come on. Come on. But, yeah, Dooley got housed. That was 2011. Foster says that was the Hunter knee game, according to Chad. That makes sense.
Yeah, that season, Hunter was – he had over 300 yards through, what,
two games.
And a third game, two and a fourth games?
Well, he had – I think he had over 300 after two. Because he
to Bush Jones.
He wrecked Cincinnati, and he had already wrecked the Grizzlies. Montana?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Montana. He had an 80-yard slant
the
that he took.
The injury was first half, wasn't it? I believe
I think it was early. I think it was first quarter. I think it was the first pass we threw to him. He jumps and he's trying to kind of plant and cut at the same time, and he just went down in a heap, and that's when we all knew.
Yeah, that year he probably would have went over 1,200 yards receiving.
Maybe. Easy. Or he and Dayrick would have been up there, because after that everyone could – I'll still never forget Rodgers dragging the Honey Badger about 15 yards down the field when LSU came here. They stomped us, but at least we have Dayrick dragging.
At that moment.
They can never take that away.
Dragon Mathieu.
Mm-hmm.
No, they can't, Dave. They absolutely cannot. Let's see. Heupel said that they have been simulating the crowd noise in practice and preparing for the communication.
What's the over-under on false starts for us?
Well, I'm going to be Nick Saban said they couldn't go to the clap snap. Or they had to adjust. So
yeah, they were trying to clap, and that was what they were having issues.
If we come out and are trying to clap, and I guess it kind of depends. If you walk out there and it's like, oh, this crowd's really not that into it, maybe you can start with that. But if we get penalties because if we have delay of games, which is going to be really weird for us, false starts, illegal snaps, things like that, I'm going to be pretty frustrated. Because you have to go into this game and prepare as if you're not going to be able to hear anything, right? Especially after what Nick Saban said. I get it. The atmosphere for Alabama is going to be a lot better than what we're going to see tomorrow night. But if we go into this game and aren't prepared to snap the football, I'm not saying fire him, but that's going to be kind of a, dude, you just saw Alabama have trouble with this. Why were you not prepared? Right. Why did we have to adjust this in the middle of the game? It's funny. Heupel was asked about preparing for multiple quarterbacks on the other team. Did you hear him say he doesn't want to have a two-quarterback system? I think he said, I don't want to play two guys.
Right.
Like, ideally, I guess that's true of any coach. You'd want to go into a game, play one guy, win the game, and get out.
Some people took that as, oh, Milton's starting. And I was like, no. I think he just means whoever he starts in a game, he wants that to be that kid's game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that was a global statement. Like, if you said, hey, Josh Heupel, in the year 2026, if you're coaching Tennessee, like, what's your quarterback philosophy? Well, I want one guy to win the job, earn the job, and play every game and be the guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he meant. Not, you know.
He said we're not leaning that way as far as playing more than one quarterback. What do you think happens tomorrow? You think it's just the hooker show the whole way, or do you think – they give Milton a start, and if he looks okay and not injured, or I think back to the 2000. Hang on, let me get the season right. I think it was 2007. Ainge got his ankle busted up the week before we were supposed to play LSU, and they put him out on the field early, and he just couldn't move.
Yeah,
because I mean he gave it a go, and then we brought in Crompton, and he kind of kept us in the game with the two deep balls to Meacham. But do you try to give Milton a go and just see how it looks, or is this a hey you're gonna have to test this out right before the game, and then we're making a decision? Because I don't want to put you out there not knowing. Would you be surprised today if you found out Milton didn't even make the trip?
No.
I wouldn't either.
And my guess is that Hooker plays almost the whole game and Harrison Bailey comes in to hand it off a few times in the final series because we're down 17. That's my guess.
So you like the cover is what you're saying?
Yeah. But
after this break,
I don't know. I mean, he hasn't said anything.
Where do you think Tennessee has advantages in this game? Think about that.
Okay.
We'll tease that.
All right.
Does Tennessee have advantages anywhere on the field?
Come back with that. Stick with us right here on 3&Out. Well, even if you missed your opportunity last night, you can still get it on the FanDuel Sportsbook $10 risk-free bet every week in the NFL. All you have to do is set up a $10 same-game parlay with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. You can take money line, you can take player props, doesn't matter. Three legs or more in a same-game parlay. You have to be in the same game, obviously. And, you know, if you win, the payout will be pretty good because it's a parlay. If you lose, you get your 10 bucks back. There's really no reason not to do it. If you haven't downloaded the FanDuel Sportsbook app, make it happen for this weekend's games. Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up. That's 3OUT to let them know we sent you. We love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You will too. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
We're having this conversation off air, looking ahead to what some of Tennessee's opponents that we've played so far kind of have going this week. Obviously, the only one that is of relevance is Pittsburgh. And looking back, Nate, here's the deciding factor for that game for where Western Michigan won. They had the ball for over 40 minutes. Time of possession.
Well, I feel like
they still gave up 41.
I feel like against Pitt, you know, Tennessee didn't take advantage of their opportunities to, you know, to burn them in the pass game. They were obviously there, and Tennessee just didn't take advantage of it. And then, so the biggest red flag for me with that new information about Pitt and the Western Michigan matchup is the same thing I saw against Tennessee Tech, is that the Tennessee offensive line, at least the way it was constructed in those two games,
Western Michigan had over 100 yards of penalties too.
Did not play. You know, it's just not playing well enough, especially in the run game. And so that's something that's got to take a huge step forward for Tennessee to even compete this weekend, tomorrow, and hopefully Cooper Mays being back changes. You know, will give them at least an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, what really helped Western Michigan was Pitt turned the ball over 3 times.
Pitt also could not convert on third down. They were 1 of 8.
Mm.
You asked the question, Houston, where does Tennessee have an advantage in the game tomorrow?
Anything just jump out to you, fellas?
Honestly, no. You said jump out.
I'll say special teams so far. Okay, is there anywhere where we don't have a massive disadvantage in your mind?
We don't have a massive
quarterback. I don't think it's massive.
I think if you can get...
Well, let's go...
I think if you can get
quarterbacks
hidden,
don't play against each other, so let's go.
I think our run defense is going to be decent.
I think our secondary against their pass game, because Richardson hasn't had to throw it, and Emory Jones, that's where he can make some mistakes. So if our front can do anything to put them in like 3rd and 7, then I think we have a shot to get off the field. I mean, that's going to be the key to the game. Is when, for our defense, the key to the game is going to be can you win on some first and second downs? And if you can, it gives you a shot.
I was just going to say linebacker play. Like, I feel like our linebackers have to ball out for us to have a chance in this one. It's definitely the biggest weakness for the defense, right?
Yes.
I feel like
we're talking advantages here, so.
Who did they have out? They got a corner out.
Yeah, their best corner.
Yeah.
Do they have any good tight ends since Pitt went down?
No. I mean, they've got guys. They don't have anybody like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a once in a generation type tight end.
Yeah, I think our secondary.
I think our D line against their run game should be okay. We'll have to wait and see. We haven't faced an offensive line like this. I think our secondary against their receivers, I'm not terrified of that, partially because, you know, their quarterback play. Yeah. Question is, can we get any type of pass rush? And then if we do, can we contain people from running around? I'd give them the advantage in the against our receivers, but that's, I think our receivers are going to get open. I just worry about us holding up against the Florida pass rush. But if we can give our quarterbacks time, I think there's going to be opportunities downfield. And then we just got to, you know, complete them. It would be good.
You got to make Florida earn it. You can't give them a long touchdown.
Yeah, you can't give them the cheap stuff.
You can't give them a 60-yard play that sets them up first and goal at the 10. Like, you can't do that. As much as that pains me, because I do like playing aggressive defense and making things happen, I think you just got to zone them up. You got to just absorb some 8-yard runs, some 12-yard runs, some maybe even some 20-yard runs, and force field goal attempts and force them to have to, you know, and then let's say they do run the ball pretty well. They hit a short pass here or there, and all of a sudden they've got it like, you know, first and 10 from your 35, and they run the ball and get a holding penalty, and now it's first and 20 from your 45. That's when you got to bow up, you got to hold them, you got to force a punt, and and then your offense has got to do something. Like, that's the way you win games in this league against teams like this.
Obviously, this offense is averaging over 30 points a game. I think we'd all love to score that, but this feels like the kind of game, if you're going to win it, you have to kind of model the 2013 South Carolina game. Don't you think? Pin them back, field position. Don't let them run everything they want to run. Make them play conservative and then take advantage of your opportunities when they come.
Yeah, the challenge there is, though, we're going to go fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So...
But that's the thing. Like, if let's say you get the ball on the 25 to start a drive, you need to get to the 50 so you can try to flip field position. Can't go three and out. Yes. Can't give them, you know, 60 yards or so to drive the ball. You got to make them earn, like you said, every yard they get. You got to give them long fields. Make them execute
and let them win time of possession. That's fine. But have a few drives where you go down and score and put pressure on them so that they're like, if they're on offense all day, okay, fine. But when you get your chances to score touchdowns, you have to do it.
What's the over-under in this game, Dave?
Oh, last I checked, it was 63.
Problem is, I don't know how we score.
What?
Alabama ran for 91 yards.
Well, it's not going to be running the football. I mean, don't get me wrong, it'd be great if we had a Travis Stevens 2001 type performance. I don't think we have that type of back on the roster. I think the key is going to be, you can't have negative plays in the run game, right? Can we stay reasonable?
Can we get 4 yards?
Right. Can you get to, you know, second and seven, second and six, second and five, and then, you know, convert on third down? And we'll see. Maybe I'm not sure how Florida does their defensive, you know, alignments and checks. I don't know if they're looking to the sidelines the whole time. Do they sub a lot? Is it possible that the high tempo offense can confuse them a little bit? I mean, we've seen certain offenses give Grantham a lot of trouble.
Just go fast.
Maybe this is one of them.
Then hit them in the passing game.
And then obviously, I don't think it matters who's the quarterback, but you got to make some plays on the ground if you're the quarterback this week, because there's going to be times where you get flushed out of the pocket. And if they're not coming up to stop you, trying to take away the deep ball, then take off and, you know, get what you can. In that regard, I think Hooker can make some plays. He's got to hold on to the football this week. You can't put it on the ground. But I think Milton can do that too. The question I have with Milton, we still don't know exactly what the injury is, correct? It's just lower extremity injury?
Yep.
So is he 100% running the football? Does he have the same speed? And if he doesn't, is that something that's going to hurt you if he has to, you know, roll out and try to scramble around a little bit? Because we know he doesn't love contact anyway. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see if we struggle to block them in their, you know, front four, five-man rush, six-man rush, does Heupel have anything to kind of slow that down? I asked it earlier in the week. Have we run any screens to the running backs? I don't recall any. This could be a good game to leak out, you know, Jalen Wright for some passes. If they're going to blitz their linebackers, try to get them over the middle. What's that? The angle route? Just the little go to the outside of the line and then right back mm-hmm. to the middle of the field. Yeah. That's one to kind of slow down some pass rush. Obviously, some screens. Probably going to see some wide receiver screens. It's going to be a chess match. And does Heupel go conservative or does he call plays thinking he can win the game? I think in the first quarter, you'll probably figure that out. Does he think they can get anything done?
I got a DM that Jacob Warren on the drive the other day said the team player council votes on the uniform combos each week. So
okay,
they want to go orange pants.
There's also a rumor that the black uniforms are in.
Oh, baby.
Russell said that.
That could be fun. Final segment, hour two.
With a black helmet to match.
Final segment, hour number two.
A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life.
Getting you set for the weekend. Tennessee, Florida, 7 o'clock. Kind of a, I don't know, not the best slate of games this weekend. I mean, there's fine matchups. But last night, Appalachian State, 31, Marshall, 30.
Mm. Apparently, that game was pretty insane.
It was a crazy kick.
I watched a little bit
touchdown.
Before the NFL game came on. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting start.
Georgia at Vanderbilt tomorrow at noon, along with Notre Dame at Wisconsin, LSU at Mississippi State, Missouri at Boston College. You got the 3:30 game. And the SEC is Texas A&M at Arkansas
mm-hmm.
on CBS.
That one will be something.
Is that a neutral site?
Somebody said Jerry's World.
Every year, Jerry's World.
And then Tennessee, Florida at 7. I mean, I don't know, Nebraska, Michigan State at 7. Kentucky, South Carolina at 7. A lot of these other SEC teams have nobody, like Auburn, Alabama, they don't play anybody. West Virginia at Oklahoma is the ABC game at 7:30. Oklahoma's a 17-point favorite in that one. North Carolina's at Georgia Tech. And California's at Washington on Pac-12 Network. Oregon hosts Arizona. They're god-awful. That game is on ESPN. USC hosts Oregon State. And Colorado at Arizona State. That's pretty much it.
Mm. And we get the big spot.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah. Big 7 o'clock ESPN game. I mean, hell, if we were a little better, our game could have been ABC game.
Could have been. What could have been?
I mean, West Virginia is not any – I mean, they're nothing to write home about. Oklahoma struggled.
West Virginia did just beat Virginia Tech, though.
Yeah, they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. They looked really bad against Maryland earlier. I watched a little bit of that game. I had a bet on them. It was a bad decision.
Oh,
Jeremy
Ryder,
wants to know.
Got the Ryder Cup starts today.
Yeah, I rode with Charlie Collier, who said that taking the Europeans plus 200 was a smart move because, like, it should at least.
He said it was smart, and he also said he wasn't going to do it because he couldn't bet against the USA. Did he change his mind on that?
I don't know what he did. I did, because I look at it as a win-win.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. That's my theory.
I mean, he said it should at least be, like, even money-ish. you know, plus 200 was just way too much, but because it's U.S. betting markets, they're going to hedge that way. And a lot of the betting sites, like if you go to my bookie right now, you can get a boost on the Americans. Well, I don't know. It already started. Maybe you can't lock that bet in anymore. But they might have live betting options, I guess. Where they'll
live betting right now, United States minus 260.
Okay. So
just FYI.
If you use my bookie, make sure you use our promo code Knoxville. It's mybookie.com on your phone or computer device. Just use promo code Knoxville when you sign up. They got some cool stuff rolling all the time. One nice thing there is you can buy points like on just any bet, like college football. So, you know, like the Gators were minus 18.5. So, like, if you want to take them, like, minus 17, for example, just to kind of, you can do that. It'll just adjust the odds accordingly. If you want to add a few points to Tennessee and make sure it's, like, you know, 20.5, you could do that. So, my bookie, use promo code Knoxville if you create an account there. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie. Back to your edge question, though. No, I mean, special teams is it for Tennessee, really.
That's it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is sad. I mean, we talked about how Mullen and Pruitt.
You don't think our secondary against their receivers? What do you think? That's push? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Just don't know enough.
It's weird because the secondary hasn't really been tested.
But I don't think they're going
to be. We've also been so good against the run. So that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what teams have had to do.
Right.
I mean, I Pickett did a pretty good job, but we also gave him so many short fields. I have to wait and see. And he's obviously a very accurate and experienced quarterback. I just wonder, let's say we get Florida into some of those third and mediums, right? The third and six, seven, eight, or plus. Like, can Emory Jones do all the things that Pickett was doing with the rollouts and the accurate throws on the run? I don't know, but the problem with Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson is their ability to just take off on you on third down. And that, could you imagine if Kenny Pickett was faster in that Pitt game? If he's just a better athlete overall, he's got a lot more room to run and make big plays.
I thought our defense looked really good early against
Pitt.
They
did early,
and then all of a sudden it's like they forgot how to play football. I don't know.
The turnovers and the quick drives didn't really help them and left them out on the field, kind of hung them out to dry a little bit. Batterball says he thinks Florida's going to tee off on whoever the quarterback is. He says he'd spend the whole first quarter with the dink and dunk, hopefully have some success. That's what Bama did multiple times in the first quarter. The running back safety valve for Bama, they did throw it to the running backs quite a bit as Florida blitzed. We've been throwing it to the running backs a little bit. I think we got some playmakers at running back out in open space. They're not Alabama's playmakers at running back, but that's not a bad theory. Kind of it's not called screens, but it ends up kind of working like that if their pass rush is just that good.
Yeah.
Would you go dink and dunk, just the quick stuff early?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
You wouldn't try to beat them up over the top, see if you can't open up the... Because aren't they going to come out and play press man, likely? That's what Florida does. They're a man-to-man in the secondary team. I would try to do that and take the safeties out of the run game if you can, because you're going to struggle against their front six.
I'm worried if we try and take a shot down the field, we're going to get jacked up in the in the pocket. I just want to get a first down to start.
That's where you're at going into this game. Just get a first down.
Yeah.
Just one first down.
Just early, yeah.
Wow.
Dude, we have not been good. They've been better than expected. We've been worse. So... Yeah.
I feel like we're right about where people expected us to be.
I mean, you had us beating
Pitt. Well, you thought
you'd
be good.
No, I didn't. I picked Pitt. Go back and check the
Pitt. All offseason, you said there's no way we're losing to Pitt. So it depends on what time you're talking about.
I picked Pitt to win.
Okay. That was after the season started. I'm talking about before.
Well, yeah, but
before the season started.
That was before I saw us play.
Before the season started, we've been worse than I thought we would be. And before the season started, Florida's been better than anybody thought they would be, I think, as a whole.
Well,
I mean, the Alabama game carries more weight than anything before
that. We're just going to have to wait and see. Like, I think everyone put so much onto what they did to Miami. Miami's clearly not that good of a football team. So I'm not saying Bama is not going to get there. I'm not saying they're not the best team in the SEC. I just don't know if they're the juggernaut right now that everyone seems to kind of think they are. They're the best team in football. I mean, I just don't know if they're quite there yet.
If you look at it basically with Saban, they only win the national championship every other year, so I'd say they don't win it this year, you know?
Is that supposed to be funny?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like I don't watch this Bama team and think back to last year, same thing. Oh yeah, they're so much better, or even on the same level. I think they're obviously very, very good, and they're incredibly well coached. They have, you know, I guess Georgia technically has the best players. Bama's much better on offense than Georgia. I just don't know if this is the unbeatable Alabama team that we've seen in years past. At least right now. I mean, it's kind of like what we said going into the Miami game. Oh, maybe Bama's not that good. They rolled Miami. Then Miami, we come to find out, it's not very good. Not to mention Derek King got hurt in that game.
Right.
So I'm just kind of in a wait and see. It's still early in the season. Florida hung with them, but they also, you know, expended a lot of energy. One guy said he felt like he got hit by a train. Maybe Tennessee's catching him at not a bad time. I wish we were a little healthier. That's kind of the key for me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with a lot of things, it's still too early to tell. Find out.